Welcome to Old Treasures Made New, your devotional podcast on the go or at home, where we read the scriptures and reflect on them with those from the past. Today, we'll be reading John 14, verses 1 to 3, and through J.C. Ryle's expository thoughts on John. Please take a moment to pause and to ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding and to apply what we hear. John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is the word of the Lord. These three verses we have now read are rich in precious truth. For more than 2,000 years, they have been especially dear to Christ's believing servants in every part of the world. Many are the sick rooms which they have lightened. Many are the dying hearts which they have cheered. Let us see what they contain. Firstly, we have in this passage a precious remedy against an old disease. The disease is trouble of heart. The remedy is faith. Heart trouble is the commonest thing in the world. No rank or class or condition is exempt from it. No bars, bolts, or locks can keep it out. Partially from inward causes and partially from outward, partially from the body and partially from the mind, partly from what we love and partly from what we fear, the journey of life is full of trouble. Even the best of Christians have many bitter cups to drink between grace and glory. Even the holiest believers find the world a veil of tears. Faith in the Lord Jesus is the only sure medicine for troubled hearts. To believe more thoroughly, trust more entirely, rest more unreservedly, lay hold more firmly, lean back more completely, this is the prescription which our Master urges on the attention of all his disciples. No doubt the members of that little band which sat around the table at the Last Supper had already believed. They had proved the reality of their faith by giving up everything for Christ's sake. Yet what does their Lord say to them here? Once more he presses on them the old lesson, the lesson with which they first began. Believe, believe more, believe in me. Never let us forget that there are degrees of faith and that there is a wide difference between weak and strong believers. The weakest faith is enough to give a person a saving interest in Christ and ought not to be despised, but it will not give them inward comfort as strong faith. Vagueness and lack of understanding are the defect of weak believers. They do not see clearly what they believe and why they believe. In such cases, more faith is the only thing needed. Like Peter on the water, they need to look more steadily at Jesus and less at the waves and wind. It is written, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Isaiah 26:3. Secondly, we have in this passage a very comforting account of heaven, the future home of God's people. We understand little about heaven while we are here in the body, and that little is generally taught us in the Bible by negatives much more than positives. But here, there are some plain things. Heaven is the Father's house, of which Jesus says, "I go to my Father and your Father." It is home, the home of Christ and Christians. This is a sweet and touching expression. Home, as we all know, is the place where we are generally loved for our own sakes and not for our gifts or possessions. The place where we are loved to the end, never forgotten, and always welcome. This is one idea of heaven. Believers are in a strange land and at school in this life. In the life to come, they will be at home. Heaven is a place of mansions, of lasting, permanent, and eternal dwellings. Here in the body, we are in temporary lodgings or tents and must submit to many changes. In heaven, we shall be settled at last and go out no more. Here we have no continuing city, Hebrews 13:14, but our heavenly home will never be taken down. Heaven is a place of many mansions. there will be room for all believers and room for all sorts, and for the least as well as the great, for the weakest believer as well as for the strongest. The feeblest child of God need not fear there will be no place for them. None will be shut out but impenitent sinners and obstinate unbelievers. Heaven is a place where Christ himself will be present. He will not be content to dwell without his people. Where I am, there you may be also. We need not think that we shall be alone and neglected. Our Savior, our elder brother, our Redeemer, who loved us and gave himself for us, will be with us forever. What we shall see and whom we shall see in heaven cannot be fully understood yet, while we are here in the body. But one thing is certain, we will see Christ. Let these things sink down into our minds. To the worldly and careless, they may seem nothing at all. To all who feel in themselves the working of the Spirit of God, they are full of unspeakable comfort. If we hope to be in heaven, it is pleasant to know what heaven is like. Lastly, we have in this passage a solid ground for expecting good things to come. The evil heart of unbelief within us tends to rob us of our comfort about heaven. We have doubts. We wish we could think it was all true, or we fear we will never be admitted into heaven. Let us hear what Jesus says to encourage us. One cheering word is this: I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, a place where we shall find Christ himself has made ready for true Christians. He has prepared it by procuring a right for every sinner who believes to enter in. No one can stop us and say we have no business there. He has prepared it by going before us as our head and representative and taking possession of it for all the members of his mystical body. As our forerunner, he has marched in, leading captivity captive, and has planted his banner in the land of glory. He has prepared it by carrying our names with him as our high priest into the Holy of Holies and making angels ready to receive us. They that enter heaven will find they are neither unknown nor unexpected. Another cheering word is this: I will come again and receive you to myself. Christ will not wait for believers to come up to him, but will come down to them to raise them from their graves and escort them to their heavenly home. As Joseph came to meet Jacob, so will Jesus come to call his people together and guide them to their inheritance. The second advent ought never to be forgotten. Great is the blessedness of looking back to Christ coming the first time to suffer for us, but no less great is the comfort of looking forward to Christ coming the second time to raise and reward his people. Let us leave the whole passage with solemn feelings and serious self-examination. How much they miss who live in a dying world and yet know nothing of God as their Father and Christ as their Savior. How much they possess who live the life of faith in the Son of God and believe in Jesus. With all their weaknesses and crosses, they have that which the world can neither give nor take away. They have a true friend while they live and a true home when they die. That is the end of Ryle's expository thoughts for these verses. Let us carefully consider what we've heard today, and may the Lord be pleased to bring the growth for his glory. In considering what you've just heard, would you prayerfully ask yourself and others the following questions? First, Jesus tells his disciples, who already showed much evidence in believing, to believe once again. Ryle points out that even weak faith in Jesus saves, but strong faith brings inward comfort, and so faith is the medicine for troubled hearts. What are things that trouble our hearts? What promises do we need to believe and apply to those problems? Second, Jesus tells us some rich truths about heaven, that it is home to the Father and all who belong to him, that it is the place of mansions, and many of them, and that it is the place where Christ dwells. Ryle encourages us that though we may not know much of what is there or who will be there in the end, we will certainly see Jesus. Do these truths excite our hearts and give us comfort? Why or why not? And third, Jesus declares that he is going to prepare a place for his people. Ryle encourages us that with these good words, namely, to firmly plant in our hearts that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and that Christ will come to get us himself. How often do we think about heaven? What can we do to think about it more?